Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here with Pam Knutson, who's the Senior Director of Compliance at Avalara, which is and she's also an expert on lodging and travel. And we wanted to ask Pam about the state of the hotel industry today and what it's going to look like in the future post-COVID and even with all the changes that have been made because of COVID. And you're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Pam, as we always say, how are you and where are you?
Thank you very much. I am great. I am based out of Seattle, Washington.
Oh, great. No, I love Seattle and would love to get back out there again, although it's been a while. I think it's been at least a year since I've been out there. I was like a year and a half ago, I went out and checked out some hotels and cruise lines and things like that. But first of all, can you explain what Avalara is and what your role is?
Sure. So Avalara is a company that deals basically primarily with transactional tax. So tax that is based on a specific event like a lodging stay or like a purchase of something. So it's very transactionally based. And so we handle the calculation and then the remittance to jurisdictions of transactional taxes.
But in the course of that, you also have to take a pretty good look at what the industry is doing and how it's faring during all of this. And that's why we're talking to you, because you study this. Now, let's talk about how the pandemic has affected hotels. How has COVID-19 hit the industry around the country in the past year?
So the pandemic took a hard hit on the lodging industry as a whole. Hotels were especially hit hard due to the inevitable close proximity to other guests, in contrast to, for example, short-term rental properties.
Right.
As we begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel, we expect hotels to gradually return as a competitive choice for lodging for travelers. But the hotel industry in general has had a full year to really think about implementing cleanliness and distance protocols, as well as other measures to better assure a safe and enjoyable experience for their guests.
Now, obviously, we're in a period now where more Americans are getting vaccinated and the treatments for COVID-19 are becoming more available, and they know what they're doing. Do you believe hotel occupancy will bounce back sort of quickly or gradually as a result of these things?
It's probably going to be a little bit more gradual. You know, the vaccine will take some time, obviously, to get fully deployed. And the American Hotel and Lodging Association estimates that only about 50% of all U.S. hotel rooms will remain unoccupied in 2021. So that's a little bit of a gradual bounce back.
No, absolutely. And I think that's going for the rest of the industry. Everybody has their predictions. Now, are you seeing more Americans ready to travel? And is that good news for the hotel business?
Yeah, I mean, Americans are starting to venture out as some of the COVID restrictions are, you know, easing up by various regions. And it's the first step in allowing hotels to reopen their doors and welcome guests. And hotels are slowly starting to see more travelers feel comfortable staying in the traditional lodging choices that we've got.
Yeah, well, I know domestic hotels, and look, I'm trying to book some hotels down in Florida, and it's tough. I mean, even, you know, in March, this is high season, and some of the places are doing well. I was looking at Key West and the Keys, and boy, I can't get in there. It's kind of crazy, but, you know, those areas, I think it's sort of, and we'll talk about that, maybe selected areas are doing very well. Let's talk a little bit about how the pandemic has changed the way hotels operate. You mentioned briefly about it, the protocols that counter COVID-19 that they have instituted that might just remain a permanent part of the service, if you believe that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so they're doing things like reducing the number of shared touch points by going digital. You know, they had started out prior to the pandemic with a lot of having the mobile key that you could do via your phone. Okay. And they're just going to expand on that in terms of like having app-based remote controls or accessible QR menus, you know, voice-activated controls, you know, digital concierge services or streamlined payment systems. So they're really starting to look at how can they bring technology and digital options into play more to avoid those touch points.
Right.
And they've also really started to look at limiting housekeeping in rooms. So there's fewer people coming into a given room during a guest stay and reduce some of the other staff, including front desk or anything. Mm-hmm. And some of that is as cost-saving measures and some of it as an exposure measure.
Now, do you think those changes will remain permanent in the industry going forward?
I think some of them absolutely will. I think a lot of the technology-based ones that will remain. And I think you can think about things that will possibly never come back. You know, if you think about it from a buffet standpoint, you know, right. There used to be a lot of hotels that had food buffets. That's probably not going to happen anymore. Right. You know, they may have grab and go scenarios, but they're not going to have anything where everybody's sharing the same spoon to get their scrambled eggs, etc. Those will probably continue to do that, to go away and stay away.
Well, I do know that having stayed in hotels recently, you have to double check whether you're actually going to get room service, not food service, but actually room makeup, you know, maid service. And you know, sometimes unless you tell them you want it, they won't give it to you. So that's kind of been a big change for me, even in some of the top luxury hotels.
Yes. You know, and they started that again. A lot of the hotels started that before the pandemic is a little bit of an eco-friendly option to say, hey, if you don't want your room cleaned every day, sign up for it. We won't clean it every day. But it's, you know, moving into more of a, hey, we're not doing this because we don't want not only our staff, but our guests exposed to, you know, kind of multiple interactions if we don't need to do so.
No, absolutely. And I think some guests obviously are going to not want to have that interaction. Some will, as I you know, because I really mess up my hotel room, so I got to get maid service. You know, this is a problem. But yeah, the other thing you mentioned, and then the shift from buffets to grab and go. But how has the pandemic overall affected F&B food and beverage operations at hotels and resorts? I know one of the challenges is that many, you know, the restaurants still aren't open. It depends on the region. You know, I've been going to hotels in New York where some very five-star hotels still don't have their restaurant open. And obviously that's going to change eventually, but, you know, it's something that guests and travel advisors who book them are going to have to be aware of, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. The hotels or the restaurants, you know, they haven't been able to do the close-in seating. And so they've either had to severely limit occupancy or in a lot of cases just say, you know what, we're not doing any in-room seating at all. And so it's all going to be, you know, grab and go, you know, delivery, takeout kind of thing and not a dining room scenario.
No, absolutely. And I've been recently in a five-star hotel in New York, and it's a wonderful hotel, but they just had no F&B. And the only thing they offered was a boxed breakfast in the morning, and that was it. And this is not a hotel you would expect that from. No room service. They are happy to give you a lot of restaurants around the neighborhood that are open, which have outdoor. And now, of course, in the New York, you can have 25% indoor at the moment. But it's rather a rather dramatic change, you know, from just being able to offer. And when you go in and the refrigerators are not stocked and, you know, things are just not the same way. Now, hopefully that's all going to change. But let's talk a little bit about what Americans may now require in a hotel room given the pandemic. How has the whole room experience had to change in hotels?
I really think that guests are going to actually expect fewer human interaction. They'll anticipate, again, that digital touchless to be a more standard practice so that they don't have to think about keys that are shared or anything like that. And then, you know, many hotels are going to pivot to kind of easy to clean surfaces and materials. So getting rid of carpet, getting rid of shower curtains, those types of things.
Right.
And then we'll probably see many more rooms outfitted for extended stay with functional kitchens or standalone living work areas, because more travelers are really deciding to venture out and they can work remotely. One of the things that we've learned through the pandemic is that we have an ability to work from wherever we are. So they're going to be looking, you know, travelers are going to be looking for places that enable that to happen because they've got the high-speed internet. They've got that capability to work remotely now.
Yeah, well, I've experienced that already. I worked remotely for about a week down in Mexico, and actually that was great. I had no problem working down there, and they actually did at F&B, so I was very happy. Now, let's go to another topic. How do you think the pandemic has affected hotel rates? Obviously, rates are some of the cheapest I've ever seen, even in the big cities at luxury hotels. And how quickly do you think hotels can start to raise rates without alienating their guests? Or do you think low rates are going to remain for the rest of this year and maybe into 22?
Well, you know, rates typically increase and decrease is based on occupancy, you know, so generally, if occupancy is low, rates tend to be a little bit lower. You know, we'll likely see rates start to increase or start to creep back up when occupancy and travel begins to pick back up. But hotels will need to be mindful of the other local lodging options that people will have, such as what's offered by Airbnb, Vrbo, or some of the other platforms, when determining what their room pricing is going to be. It's a little too early to predict what rates are going to look like, you know, moving forward, but that's generally how they trend.
No, that's a, in fact, I was looking at rates in Florida, and some of the rates for some of the upscale hotels in the Miami area are back to what they were. But that doesn't go everywhere. In New York, hotel rates are crazy low, still, even for five-star hotels. But now, Will, do you think hotels also, because of all the furloughed and layoffs they've had, the staff has been reduced, do you think they will continue to lack staff for the foreseeable future after they did all this during the pandemic? When do you think staffing levels will get back to whatever normal is or the new normal?
So, well, you know, obviously hotels had to cut back on the staff during the pandemic, you know, and they'll continue to look at this from the cost saving measure as they look at the recovery and as they look at more guests coming in. I would say you're going to look for a new normal in staffing levels as guests have become accustomed to staying away from others during the pandemic. And hotels kind of rethink those long-term staffing needs to say, you know, what do we actually need based on what guests actually expect and want?
No, that sounds logical. It we'll have to see what happens. I know, you know, sometimes you go in a hotel these days and they can't find anybody around. It's like kind of crazy. They have one person manning the desk. And I'm talking about very upscale hotels, which I was somewhat surprised at. Now, do you think it's ever going to come to a point where hotels will require COVID testing or even a vaccine proof for guests and staff?
We haven't really seen this as a requirement, although we do know that there's a hotel in Miami that's offering COVID testing as an added security. So, and other properties may offer something similar or look at something similar as an additional amenity or service, but we haven't necessarily seen it as a requirement yet. It's a kind of a tough thing to require.
Yeah, well, we know, and recently several cruise lines, not many, but two or three, say they're going to institute vaccine requirements, which has, you know, raised a few eyebrows, at least from the travel advisor community, who are worried about this. On the one hand, they can think their customers are safe, their clients are safe, but on the other hand, not everybody can get a test right away, and maybe there's some people who just won't be able to, not a test, I mean a vaccine, not everybody can get a vaccine right away, or maybe able to. We'll see what happens because of their medical conditions. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what other hotel trends have developed in the COVID era and what will remain as we emerge from the pandemic?
Well, one of the actual biggest trends to emerge from 2020, it really does have to do with extended stay. Right. Hotels and inns with kitchens and living areas, with laundry rooms on site, with food were purchased, actually fared the best out of the traditional lodging types.
Right.
If you look at Atlas Hospitality Group, the extended stay occupancy rates were about 72% during Q2 of 2020 versus the 42% at more traditionals. Again, people have learned that they can work from any place, so they're going to look for some place that allows them to be in more of a home environment when they're working rather than just all I have is a bed and kind of quasi a desk sometimes.
Right.
So, you know, and compliance changes are also on the horizon. Lodging of all types and categories is going to bounce back, and lodging destinations will all be coming back as well. But they're going to be targeted by really the jurisdictions that have had a huge loss in revenue due to the drop in the lodging industry. And they're going to be looking at that to say, okay, how do we really look at this to determine that we want to, you know, can capitalize on this transactional tax, this lodging tax that it can come in through here from a revenue standpoint. So, you know, in 2021, I could really foresee some of the governments exercising latitude within their control to really seize on the increase in extended stay properties and change taxing parameters. A lot of states say a stay that is over 30 days is no longer a lodging stay. It turns into a little bit more of what's called a long-term stay, and taxes don't go away. You don't have to pay, you know, the nightly tax if you're staying for longer than 30 days in a lot of states. some of those states are going to change that time frame to 60 to 90 days because they want to, you know, so New York is a good example. New York's time frame is 90 days,
right.
You know, but a lot, most of the states are still in that 30 day, but they'll likely change it to that 60 or 90 days so that they can get more of those lodging taxes throughout it. And then they could also look to determining to beyond length of stay, to determining whether or not to assess hotel or occupancy taxes. You know, they're pass-through taxes, so it would potentially increase the nightly rate for the hotel guests. It's not an expense to the hotel per se. It just changes the total nightly rate a guest ends up paying. But it's a way for the jurisdictions to recoup some of that revenue that they lost so much of in 2020.
Well, that's the thing is all these local states and localities will want to get revenue because they're all hurting. So they some of them will not want to do that, I guess. But, you know, it's like you look at taxes for New York, it always is a lot added onto the bill, into the bill. But, you know, obviously a lot of these resorts in other countries, they have basically been offering these workaway programs, these month-long stays for ridiculously low rates. And I'm not sure how they handle the tax implications of that because they also, you know, rely on taxes. Those countries rely on taxes for revenue as well. But we'll have to see how that works. And in fact, one of the things I was going to ask you is, do these trends really tend to be regional? You know, they differ by area of the country. Maybe the areas that are recovering better than others, like Florida versus New York, for example. You know.
Yeah. The trends, I mean, they may start out seeming like they're a little bit regional, but they'll end up moving to a more national process because it will start to become the standard practice for, you know, lodging across the board. They'll really start to look at it across the board and say, hey, this is kind of just the how it works, and so this is what we're going to do.
Okay. Now, and also, does the same thing go with recovery in terms of regional? I mean, is it going to be kind of, you know, right now, I look at, as I was telling you before, you know, Florida, Miami, those areas seem to be booming, Key West, and obviously a place like, compared to a place like New York City, which is still hurting, you know, granted, you know, our lovely winter weather here in New York City is not going to attract a lot more business right at the moment, and everybody wants to go to Florida. But is truly the recovery going to be on a regional basis?
Yeah, I mean, that really is going to depend on how Americans feel comfortable traveling. You know, as vaccination becomes more widely accessible, as you start to hear about what areas are more highly vaccinated, have done, you know, have gotten more people through it, you know, people will start to get a different comfort level in terms of what they're going to happen. We'll start to see travel by car and air take off a little bit more. You know, and the majority of people really do want to travel in 2021. We've all been suffering from a bit of cabin fever.
Sure.
And people want to get out and they want to do things. You know, so I think a lot of people will, I think the majority of people do really want to go someplace. So you'll see it start to pick up. It's just going to be a matter of when. And again, I think that's going to be both on based on the vaccination rollout and people's comfort level with not only traveling and the vaccine, but also the safety protocols that various hotels and other lodging have put in place to ensure that they are safe.
No, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, here's the big question. What will the new normal be for hotels and resorts in the U.S. going forward later this year and then into for the future? Does this represent a fundamental change in the way that hotels and resorts operate in the U.S.?
I think what you will see is, you know, as hotels, as people start to travel, I think hotel chains will be trying to lure guests in with kind of new and attractively refurbished properties that boast longer stay amenities. So, and make it more convenient and accessible for people to stay longer and work while they're there and still enjoy the region as they get out at nights or on the weekends, et cetera. And then they're really going to look at, you know, how do you get the attention of corporate travel managers? Searching for the best options for employees. So I think those are going to be the things that they're really going to end up, you know, kind of marketing towards and reaching towards is to really kind of capture that part of the market.
Now, obviously, we go out to about 85,000 travel agents today. And how should they deal with this new normal for hotels? And how can they start to ramp up sales of hotel rooms as we emerge from the pandemic?
So I think it's really going to be a matter of staying up to date with the changing trends and the guidelines and really booking their travelers at hotels that market to the strict adherence for the standards that help ensure safety and cleanliness and, you know, and all of those things, and also cater to what the travelers want to do as far as long-term, you know, long stay, internet access, whatever it may be, to say, hey, this is what I want to be able to do when I'm there. And so finding those hotels that really cater to that mindset is going to be a critical factor.
Well, I know travel advisors, on the one hand, they have all this information they have to relay to their client a lot more than they ever used to, whether it's if you're going abroad, they have to know all of the regulations and rules on COVID and entry. And now with individual hotels and individual hotel chains, each of which has its own, you know, cleanliness program, protocols, everything else, it's almost like you have to have a degree in COVID to really book your client, your traveler, into these places. So I think they're going to be more necessary than ever. Now, is there anything else you want to tell travel advisors about what they need to know about the recovery of the hotel business, how long it will take, and what changes will be permanent from the COVID era?
I think it's really, you know, just what we've kind of already talked about, in the sense of, you know, knowing what the hotels are doing, knowing what they're offering. Like, to your point, you know, some of the high-end hotels, their restaurants aren't open. The travel advisors need to know that. They need to be able to provide that information to the local, to whoever's thinking about traveling there, to say, hey, what are the food and beverage options, not only in the hotel, but locally? Because in some cases, a lot of the local restaurants have either closed or at limited capacity, et cetera. So I think it's going to be travel advisors really kind of understanding and being able to tell travelers, hey, these are the safety protocols in place. Here's what you can expect as far as, you know, touchless pieces, you know, even as much as saying, hey, you know, if you're looking to use the workout room, et cetera, they're doing reservation-based systems on the workout equipment or the pool. So really understanding what those various changes are so they can advise the guests to help them pick what's going to be the best suit for their particular desires or needs.
Now, I just want to close this out by, is there a place, first of all, is there a website for your company that people can go see what it's all about? And I don't know if you have any data on there or anything else, like, because obviously you're looking at all this stuff and whether you guys produced reports on it or not, but maybe where they can find out more information.
Yep. So our website is avalara.com. It's okay. Pretty simple, AVALARA.com. Okay. And we do have, there's a blog out there, there's some white papers out there, there's, you know, there is some information not only about this, but about a number of different things that have happened with the jurisdictions as well.
Well, Pam, I want to thank you for taking the time to tell us about what's going on with hotels. It's a big question right now, given that cruises are pretty much shut down till maybe the summer or longer, and European travel is pretty shut down. A lot of people want to know how to book more hotels and resorts, especially domestically. So the information you're giving us today is crucial for them, because they really are refocused on booking hotels and resorts around the country, and some for the first time, since a lot of travel advisors actually specialized in cruise travel. But they haven't seen any income for almost a year now. So and they won't, given that, you know, until maybe towards the end of this year. So they got to look at other places for revenue. And I think that's what the key is. So again, thank you very much for joining me today to talk about this topic.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.